Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
David Ramirez joins us now, 0848, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by David Ramirez, chief of the Lower Mississippi River Branch of the Army Corps of Engineers, talk about underwater sills, saltwater wedges. How you doing, sir?
Good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Tell me what you guys are doing and where you're doing it.
So we've been tracking, you know, the upward progression of the saltwater in the Mississippi River for about a month now, and it's reached the point to where we started construction of an underwater sill barrier at River Mile 63.7, which is just below Bell Chase. And that underwater barrier will prevent the further upward movement of the saltwater in the river to protect the freshwater treatment plants upstream.
How do you guys go about doing this? I think I saw a video yesterday of a guy with a, I don't know what I was, if I was seeing stock footage or not, but just tell me about the actual process. How do you go about constructing an underwater sill, and the physics involved here is that the salt water weighs more than the fresh water, so it sinks, and that's why the underwater levee, if you will, blocks it, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, salt water is denser than fresh water, so it moves along the bottom of the river. In this current condition, we have been low flows in the river, and so the bottom of the river is below sea level for quite a few miles, and so the salt water kind of moves its way upstream along the bottom of the river. And what we do is we contract with dredging companies, and they dredge river sand along, you know, the sides of the channel, the bank, they have borrow areas, they call it, where there's extra sand material in the river. And they place that in the deepest part of the channel where the salt wedge is moving and build this underwater, it's kind of like a levee, it's like a berm, we call it a barrier.
So where that levee is, the river is, how wide is this thing? If I'm looking at the river from one bank to the other, how wide is it?
The river is probably in that area about 3,500 feet wide, but the deepest part, what we call the ship channel, where we maintain a deep draft for the large ships, that's a lot smaller. That's probably 1,500 feet wide. Mm-hmm. And so that berm is only sitting in that section of the river where it's the deepest.
But the berm itself, to look at it from the side, would be how wide? I'm just trying to get an idea.
You mean looking at it from one side
it would
to the next?
Be, yeah.
It's probably many hundred feet wide. They place the material underwater, so it's not a perfect design as
right.
You would think of a levee on
right.
the ground. They're dumping the sand in the water, and it settles as it will. But it's many hundred feet wide at the bottom, and it comes up to an elevation of minus 55 feet in the river, and that's a lot to allow navigation traffic over the top of the sill without any obstruction.
I know the water level, the flow is low, which allows for the saltwater intrusion, but how impervious is this underwater sill to the flow of the river washing it away or carrying it away?
So it's designed to stay in place until the river flows increase to about 400,000 to 500,000 cubic feet per second. Once the river rises above that level, then it'll erode away naturally.
You see, and that's the part I wanted to mention, because it's kind of like nature taking care of itself. Once the flow gets to where you don't need the underwater sill anymore, it will automatically take it away, right? You don't have to deconstruct
it. Yes, correct.
That's an amazing engineering feat. How does this compare to last year, David? Because we spoke to you last year when this was going on.
Yes. So last year, the conditions were worse a lot earlier in the year. We were seeing low water in the river late May, early June, and it extended through the fall. This year, we started noticing it about a month ago, as I said, and then when Hurricane Francine came, some of that rain kind of helped, some of that rain in the river and, you know, local tributaries helped kind of delay it a little further, but we're not seeing the extent of the low water this year as we did last year. We work really closely with the National Weather Service, and they do a lot of rain and river forecasting, and it looks like the river flows are not as dire as they were last year. So we're hopeful that we can, you know, get out of this, and we typically see river flows increase late October, early November. So we're hoping we'll get to that point without having severe impacts.
I love learning stuff always, David. I do, because so you build it, you don't have to rebuild it once it's constructed, or you don't have to deconstruct it because it's going to be there after you build it until, correct me if I'm wrong, the river flow is such that it washes it away and it's no longer needed. Yes?
That's correct. It'll wash away when the river naturally increases in flow.
So is there any chance that you will have to build one further up, or farther up river after this or not? Or is it take care of it?
Well, we monitor the river, and based on the river forecast from the Weather Service and our knowledge of how the salt moves based on the river flow, this year doesn't look like we would have to do any additional measures than this original sill. Mm-hmm. Last year, we built this sill, and then we had to add to it, we called it an augmented sill. We raised the height of it because the forecast showed that the salt water would reach the sill and overtop it.
But in the same area, right?
In the same area, yeah. Yes. We just added to the height of the current sill, and we raised it higher to prevent that salt water from overtopping.
See, the light bulb just went off. So once you find the location for the sill, you would never build another one beyond it. You would only maybe have to raise it. Accurate?
That's accurate, yes. Oh. Yes, that's right, Tommy.
Anything else you want to let us know about, David, before we let you go?
No, just that we've been monitoring this. We're coordinating with the local Plaquemines Parish, Orleans Parish, St. Bernard Parish on their water treatment intakes. And, you know, our team is out there ready to assist and whenever anyone needs with this drought mitigation.
So just one more quick question I have, and that is, what would have to happen up north to increase the flow of the river? And are you looking at weather patterns or what's anticipated?
And that's the part of it. You know, we coordinated the Weather Service, and there's just been a significant drought in the upper Mississippi Valley, on the Ohio River, the Missouri River, and the upper Miss. And all three of those areas are major contributors in the water we see. And so we're looking at, you know, we're needing a good couple rain events in the upper Mississippi Valley to turn this around. And again, typically we see that in the fall with these cold front systems moving through the Midwest. So we're hopeful that, you know, this year will be a good average year. We'll see those rainfalls, you know, start up in late October, early November.
In the upper Mississippi River Valley, the rain we had with Francine has nothing to do with any of this, accurate?
No, we don't have much local contribution to the river here. Most of our water that falls here moves away from the river. As you know, in the city, we pump it to the lake, so there's no real contribution to the river for local rain.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. 8:55, traffic now, WWO.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.